The official AFLW fantasy podcast, and we are back for season 2026 with our club preview series. Very excited to be starting off with the Wooden Spooners for the season, Gold Coast, and to chat all things Gold Coast, I've got Liam with me here today. So tell us what happened with Gold Coast. What can we look forward to this season?
Well, we can look forward to all things must go up from here because it was a pretty dreadful start record-wise to the Reshore regime. They really did struggle last year. New coach, a much younger team, and it really did show that they really struggled to put together much of anything. Only two wins, a percentage of 41, which is outrageous, and a real struggle to find much of their game plan that really worked. I think the only upside from the season was Neve McLaughlin being named All-Australian in a truly spectacular defying of all expectations. But outside of that, it was definitely a struggle, except for the arrival of some youth. So the big thing last year was Havana Harris, pick 2 in the draft, and then they've gone ahead and picked 8 players in the national draft last year. Outrageous stuff.
And one from the preseason draft, just to add to it.
Oh, just because they can. And then I think they've also picked up a player after preseason draft because they've had another injury. So that, 10 new players this offseason is truly wild. Now, they have lost some big names. Their most capped player ever, I think, Lauren Bella, out the door to Carlton. Claudia Whitford, one of their best midfielders. I think top three in their BNF 2 years ago and the year prior. She is out the door to Carlton as well. Jack Dupuy out the door. It has truly been a massive season of turnover at Gold Coast, but they are bringing in some absolute superstar talent. So it is going to be a fascinating watch this year.
Yeah, I mean, like you just mentioned, 10 players in, as well as those outs, there's also a clearinghouse of 7 delistings. So it's really a third of this team is going to be fresh, essentially.
And that is unfathomed. It is, but never have we seen any this kind of turnover in a single season on a list. Now, in terms of the delistings, it's not exactly from their top tier talent. You know, maybe Ella Mora and Taya Oliver were two players that we'd seen a decent amount of last year. Ella K. Smith, who had flirted with our fantasy teams a couple of years ago. Wasn't a particularly high-scoring, flirtatious period, but she was in our teams nonetheless. They've all been delisted. But I think the really important thing to talk about is all the rookies that they've come in. They've had Ava Usher and Sonny Lappin as their first two picks. They've had, I've not got her name in front of me. It is Georgia Davis at pick 9, Alana Welsh at pick 12, Michaela Nurse at pick 13, Dakota Barron at pick 15. They have had more than a third of the top 15 picks come into their side. Yeah. Wild. Insane. And then the biggest name possibly ever, well, maybe not ever in a trade, but close to it, Anne Hatchard, in a shock. And for the first time ever, I think we're going to mention one of the big ins for the year, a member of the football department, their new head of AFLW at Gold Coast, in Erin Phillips. Fascinating to see what that's going to bring. Erin Phillips, widely considered one of the most successful AFLW players of all time. Maybe she can bring some of that success from Adelaide and Port Adelaide across to the Gold Coast.
Yeah, so even though it wasn't a great season for the Suns last year, they've had so much change that it's got to be better. Like, this has got to be a rebuilding, getting everything ready for a big season. I guess, and to hear a little bit about that, Jono sat down with Lily Mithen earlier this preseason, so let's jump over to that one.
Welcome, Lily, to the Free Kick podcast. We're so excited to have you here today. How's it going?
Thanks for having me, Jono. Yeah, really good. It's a beautiful sunny day here on the coast, so cannot complain.
Yeah, it's got to have been a good move heading up to Gold Coast. It's a pretty dreary day down here in Melbourne, so I'm sure it's been a nice sea change there.
Yes, absolutely. One of the perks of being up here.
Yeah. Now, we're pretty thrilled to have you on, not just because, you know, it's the Lily Mithen joining us today, but you're our first interview of the AFLW preseason, which means that really the AFL season is back, you know, season 11 coming on. How's the return to preseason been for you?
Well, thank you. That's a real honour. I'll take first place in anything at this stage. So that's a good start. But that preseason started really well, and obviously that's what everyone says at this time of year. But a lot of new faces this year, and Aaron Phillips, a welcomed addition to our program, alongside Anne Hatchard and plenty of other draftees. So the feeling's really good. It's really light. We've obviously reflected a lot on our performance last year and what we put out in season 2025, and obviously pretty easy to be unhappy with that performance and what we put out last season. So, as I said, a lot of reflection, a lot of hard work's gone into putting ourselves in a far better position, and with a lot of change, it feels really good, and yeah, fit and healthy and raring to go. So a few cliches in there, but ultimately the footy club feels good.
Yeah, no, that's great to hear. I think, yeah, I mean, definitely such a challenging season for the Suns. But, I mean, as you say, a lot of youth on the list, a lot of new players coming in. I think you've had some of the most in the league. I guess when you look back on that season, I mean, how do you reflect on it in sense of, was it more, I suppose, about the implementing the game plan and seeing how that worked, or like how do you look at that season internally?
I guess the year last year, systematically things went wrong. We weren't in position to execute what we set out to achieve, and ultimately, sure, he came in with a really strong game plan, and us as players take a lot of ownership of not being able to execute that consistently. So there was that, as well as probably trying too hard at some phases and trying to do too much to rectify problems internally. But yeah, as I say, we've come in with a clean slate, you know, new head of footy, which is awesome, and a lot of youthful and energized, enthusiastic young talent. So that's going to be a massive uplifter for us, and that'll change, I guess what felt like a bit of a lethargic slog at times last year. I feel like we've re-looked at how we conducted our weeks and simplified things and just made everything a little bit more streamlined, so we get best bang for buck and remain really fresh and energised approaching the season this year consistently.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's so many interesting players that have come in the off-season. I suppose to start with someone like Anne Hatchard, I feel like she's such an incredible complement to the midfield that you're a part of. You've seen obviously Charlie Rowbottom, Lucy Single go to work over the years sort of in the in and under contest, but there's so much pace that's being added. You know, I've loved what Niamh McLaughlin did as captain last season. Her pace is incredible. I mean, how do you mix and match all of these different competitors through that midfield? I feel like you've got it's going to be tough to find that balance.
Absolutely. And I think we're really blessed with a lot of talent in there. And I think to your point, it's about getting the right mix. We've got big bodies with, Lucy, Charlie, Mads Brank, now Hatchie. And then you've got the speed and agility of now Ava Usher and Niamh when she comes in there, if she does. So there's a good mix. And we've also speed on the outside, which will complement the wing role really well with Michaela Nurse and Lily Quigley. There's a good mix of players and what they bring in terms of strength and power and speed, and it'll be really all back.
Yeah, I feel like you mentioned a lot of names there that have all come in from that draft picks last year. I mean, you've had four of those picks in the 2024 draft, now eight in the last season. It's actually incredible to have these players coming through. I mean. So I can't imagine it's one thing to have, all this talent come to the club, but another where they all know each other and play together in the seasons before they start. I mean, what's it been like having them around the club?
So good. And it's a massive testament to what the academy has been able to do to produce this amount of talent at this level. And for them to all be able to step in and immediately feel somewhat comfortable, given they're with their mates, been coached under Shorey. They've worn the uniform. They've, you know, been around the club. It's a real, I guess, advantage for them to initially feel really comfortable and find their feet. And to their credit, they match that with hard work and, I guess, an application to want to learn and get better and accelerate their development, be ready at the level as soon as possible. So, yeah, it's been so cool. But because they're all friends, they're just bouncing around the club, having the time of their lives. And I often put myself in their shoes thinking, how would this be? You've, you know, grown up a Gold Coast girl. You're now playing for the Gold Coast Suns with all your mates who you've been playing with, you know, since underage footy. So it's really cool to see. And they've all slotted in amazingly well. And for us older girls to be able to, I guess, harness that that enthusiasm and appetite to grow, as well as help their development and work all together. It's going to be a really cool combination to pull all together and, yeah, play some great footy all together.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's absolutely fantastic. I mean, last year we saw Havana Harris come in and absolutely dominate. Are there many players in this group that you think are going to come in and just hit the ground running from day one?
Well, have the unicorn. She is she's an unbelievable player, and she's taken her game already to another level. It's unbelievable to watch her every day just get better. I can't wait to see what she brings. So, fantasy players, get her in your team, because there's I don't think there'll be many better scorers this year. But her best mate, Ava Rushard, they've done a lot of work together in the off season, and she hasn't played footy in a long period of time, but she's absolutely ready to play and hit the ground running. She's going to bring a lot of X factor through the middle of the ground, and I know she's highly touted and one to watch, but yeah, she's living up to that expectation internally, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. Alana Welsh, she's a crafty forward who's going really well, and every day just wants to get better and get the most out of herself. So I can imagine her hitting the scoreboard quite frequently. But alongside Heidi Talbot, who we picked up last year, but didn't get a run through injury, but she's another one up forward who's lively and has a massive appetite to win the footy back and play that defensive small forward role really well. So I'm really excited to play with her as well. Honestly, I think there's 13 new girls. I could continue the list, but I'll give you my top three.
We'd be here for an hour. Yeah.
Yeah. I could if you want.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very passionate about this.
Talking about a couple of the youngsters coming into the forward line. I'm personally a Hawks fan. So when Jack DePie said she was moving south, I was pretty excited. But it also marks, I suppose, the second, you know, big pillar of your forward line heading out of the club in a couple of years. I imagine that whole setup and structure down there is going to be, you know, completely different to what we've seen in seasons past. How is the team going about trying to replace those avenues to goal?
Yeah, Dakota Barron will play a big part as a key forward. So she was another academy graduate. She's really dynamic. She's got good size. She can launch at the ball and finishes in front of goal too. So I feel she's a welcome addition. To be a big pillar up there. And then we've got, Hav's going to be another big avenue to goal as well. So she'll be chomping at the bit to get out there and kick some more snags. She'll be kicking more than last year, I reckon. But, I'm just really excited about the sort of medium to small forwards that we've got in place at the moment. Lily Quigley's having a run up forward as well. She's fit, fast, agile, super skillful, and feel she's someone who's just got a real desire to be the best that she can. So I'm excited to see how she adjusts to the level.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, she's one where you watch the highlights, she seems impossible to just get your hands on to tackle. Going to be challenging for any small defender out there.
She stands at 161 centimetres, and she's named herself Big Quigs. So I'm not sure where she's getting the big bit from, but there's a bit of slander for opposition to take a hold of.
Absolutely. I feel like there's not only a whole bunch of youth, but you had quite a few injuries last year with some pretty important players that I can see are, you know, hopefully making their return this year. And a few sort of more in the back line. So, I mean, Daisy Darcy was one that had an incredible 2024 season. had to miss all of last season with an ACL. I'm hoping we might see her return this season. She hasn't been placed on the inactive list this year, which is a positive sign.
She feels like another new player to me. I obviously didn't play any footy with her last year because of the ACL injury, but she is, and all the girls are telling me she's our best player. Like, she's so good. You should see her. And I'm like, I can't wait to see this girl have a run around. And no, she's absolutely lived up to the expectation. She's training the house down and she's going super well. So I'm so excited to play some footy with her, and she's slot back in, I guess, where she left off after that successful 2024 campaign that she had. So she feels like another great addition to our team, and I guess freshens up that drive and energy and ball use off halfback. So she's so dynamic and she's super creative. So that's going to set us up really well when we go defence to attack. And, yeah, she'll be really positive energiser of the way we use the footy.
Yeah, that's great to hear. She's back and firing. I feel like she's one of probably a number of players across the squad where, you know, I think you've got a lot of player versatility, which not a lot of the clubs have. So, you know, obviously Darcy can play in roles all across the ground. Neve McLaughlin the same, Anne Hatchard the same. Havana Harris, you know, we've mostly seen as a forward, but, you know, with players like Lauren Bella departing the club, I can imagine that there might be some sort of interest in playing it through the ruck. Well, how do you make that decision of, I suppose, where players are best suited at the club?
I think, again, like, credit to our coaching staff. It's all about maximising players' strengths and players' opportunity to be able to impact on game day. So if someone's primary role is up forward but they're not being able to impact there, it's having secondary positions where they can fall back to and try and still utilise their strengths, but just in a different way to, I guess, change stimulus and try and maximise what a player can output. So, if Hav, for whatever reason, isn't getting the ball up forward, you might throw her in the middle just to give her around the footy and, you know, utilise what her strengths are or whatever the example may be. But, yeah, I guess that's something that Shaw is really strong on, is it's not just this is your role and this is what you do. It's let's work together, let's work collaboratively to make sure that we are maximising your strengths, one, for the team, but two, so you can get the best out of yourself.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. I suppose just so the idea of Havana Harris moving into the middle is one that intrigues me greatly. I feel like one of the things that when you look back at last season, there's a lot of stats I'm sure you're hoping to improve. But that centre bounce work that the Gold Coast have been doing is actually incredibly successful. I think I'd found some stat. It was something like if the Suns want to hit out, you were the third best at converting that into a clearance of any team in the competition, which is, you know, probably a credit to, you know, the way that you set up and the players that you've got in there. But, you know, Lauren Bella and Taylor Gregory, who've probably done the lion's share in recent years, I think Lauren Bella is the game's record holder at the Suns at the moment. With them sort of leaving, I feel like that is something that's going to be interesting to see, is who steps into that sort of a role. I'm wondering, it's still pretty early in the preseason, so I'm sure it hasn't been decided or anything, but who's in the mix to sort of step in into the middle there?
As a rock?
Yeah.
Likely to be Darcy Davies. So she's spent a lot of time up forward, and we've sort of played second fiddle to Loz there last year in the ruck. So she'll primarily take ruck duties at this part of the preseason. We brought in Paige Price, so she played Box Hill in the VFL the last couple of years. She's had experience at Southport, so we picked her up just after the preseason draft a couple of weeks ago. So she'll also be really pivotal in the way that we set up in the middle. And yeah, I think we've got such great mids, inside mids, and outside mids. So it would be silly not to really maximise our opportunity and get first use to get the ball going. It is such an instrumental way of how the game's played. And if your mids aren't performing or getting the hands on it, it's really difficult to win games of footy. So we've got excellent mids. And, I think Darcy at the moment, she'll be the one that will hopefully give us you know, silver platter service.
Yeah. And then I suppose lastly, on a more personal note, you've recently finished last season on 94 games, which means that you're potentially joining the 100-game club at some point this season, knock on wood.
Knocking?
Yeah, 100%. How does it feel to be on the cusp of such an incredible achievement?
Yeah, I guess I haven't thought about it too much, but obviously there's not too many in the club, so to be, yeah, I guess, one of the first-ish would be really cool. And, yeah, one of the girls this morning said, "Oh, I didn't know you were born in the 1900s. And I thought, oh, my God, I'm not quite that old. But amongst what is a pretty young team, I am feeling older, so it maybe feels a little bit more accurate that I'm achieving those milestones in comparison to some of my teammates. But it's, it'd be really cool. And I love the game, and I love seeing how the game's progressed. And it's obviously something that I hold really dearly to be part of the competition from the inaugural year. And I've been pretty fortunate through injury to play predominantly most games. So hopefully the 100 is this year, but ultimately I'll just be doing my bit to win games of footy this year and put the Gold Coast on the map for the right reasons.
Yeah, no, absolutely. There's no temptation. I see. It was round six, I think. Is assuming you play every match, round six against the Bombers would be the big game. Is there any temptation to just sort of manage yourself to push that out to round nine against the Demons? It's becoming a bit of a trend at the moment.
No. It's definitely not in any similar realm to Scott Pendlebury, if that's what you're alluding to there, but. No, I don't even know if I'd want to play against the D's, to be honest, in a game like that. So it'll be when it'll be, which will be good.
Fair enough. If it's any help, I was trying to look up some stats on the 100 game. I think you'd be the third youngest to have ever achieved it, assuming everyone who's on track keeps going. So
there you go.
Quite impressive, and hopefully another, 100 games to come after that, if we can get the seasons a bit longer. Maybe.
Yeah, have a word to the AFL and I'll be on board.
All right. Last question, something we like to ask most of the players when the season's, coming up ahead, which is who have you been most excited watching this preseason and look set for a big 2025?
The big pause is, I've got an obvious one, but we've already spoken so much about it that I'm trying to think of someone else. My obvious answer is Havan Harris. Yeah. And I think I'm just going to run with that. Yeah, I'll run with that. She's just honestly taken her physical attributes and the confidence, I think, in her own ability is just skyrocketed. So I feel like it's up to her to decide to be the best player in the competition at this rate, because she has every opportunity to do so. And, she's an absolute powerhouse and been doing super things. So I'm really excited to watch her. But that's such an obvious answer, because you just look at her and you go, of course, she's a good player. And but it's honestly just the things you don't see, I suppose, on the outside. And it's how hard she works and how diligent she is and how eager she is to get the most out of herself, as well as wanting the best for others. So she's a first-class teammate. And, she's going to do good things.
Yeah, I mean, it's fantastic to hear. And, sometimes the obvious person is also the person who deserves the credit. So I'm looking forward to a big season for her. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate it. It's been, fun hearing the insight into the Gold Coast Suns preseason, and wish you the best for the season ahead.
Awesome. Thanks, Jono. Thanks for having me.
Great interview chat there with Liamith. And Liam, what did you make out of it?
Havana Harris is the best footballer possibly of all time already. Move aside Aaron Phillips, who I just was just touting as a massive in. Havana Harris is clearly going places this season. Mentioned how many times as she's really good. She's going to explode. Get her in your fantasy teams. Oh, and she's the breakout player. Yep, I'll stick with that. The breakout player. I'm like, geez, she must have done some stuff at training that has truly turned some heads.
Yeah, that's going to be a breakout player after arguably already breaking out pretty well last season. So very much looking forward to what Havana can bring. I also like to hear that of so many of these rookies that they've recruited in the offseason, it sounds like quite a few of them are going to be making an impact pretty early, especially Ava Usher. Sounds like she'll be going straight into the midfield the way that was being spoken about. And Dakota Barron being a great Jack Depay replacement as a tall forward. This also feels very hopeful that, like, of the rookies that we'll be bringing in for fantasy this season, quite a few of them are going to be from Gold Coast. Obviously, you know, proportion of the rookies wise, but also
six of the top 15 picks. I would hope that they would be getting a game early.
You would hope so, but
early.
It also sounds like, you know, making an impact early as well. So it's quite exciting.
Yeah, well, I think we can just jump straight into the most fantasy relevant player. It is Havana Harris, in my opinion. She's going to be priced at 60. I just get the sense that Havana Harris playing even primarily as a forward, it's giving Bonnie Too-Good vibes to me. Being able to play anywhere on the ground, having a beautiful set of hands. She's elite at stoppages. Already we've seen moments. They've been confident enough last year to throw her at times in the midfield. I think the only thing holding her back last year was some of the floor scores, namely a 24 in 96% time on ground against the Hawks. Even if she can transition some of those 20s and 40s last year into 60s and still have some of the ceiling games having an 88 and in her first ever game having some 70s, I think that they can be 80s and 90s if she's just given greater access to the ball, a better priority list when it comes to for being targeted inside 50. She's priced at 60. I think this is a 75-plus averaging forward in time, 15 points of upside, and that's before, and I thought that before hearing Lily Mithen call her a unicorn, got another level. It's just like, I think that's elite. I think that that's the number one most fantasy relevant player. I think we always struggle to find high scoring forwards. She's in.
I think we'll look back at the days when she was only priced at 60 and with fondness and be like, oh, she's so expensive now. How could she ever have been priced at 60? But I also think that a discussion topic we had a few times last year at least was, what does Jack Depay's game do to Havana Harris in terms of scoring potential? And on the games where Jack Depay didn't play, Havana averaged 10 points higher. So I think that the kind of the gap that that might leave around the forward is going to be an additional, like, on top of all of her preseason gains, on top of everything else that's going on.
And I think she moves up the pecking order as a backup ruck too. So last year it was Bella and Davis. I think now it'll be Davis and just a bigger sprinkling for Havana Harris. I don't think that that's going to bring her points down. I don't think she's going to be a huge goal kicker all the time, but what I think she's going to do is she gets more time in the ruck or at stoppages. She just is so fleet of foot for someone who is so tall. Her arms are so long. I really feel like there's a high tackling player too. I wouldn't be shocked if it's 4+ tackles a game if she's given that ruck stoppage time.
It's interesting about the ruck because they did also pick up Paige Price, who was showing pretty good scores as a ruck in the VFLW previously. And, you know, from the interview, Lily Mithen was saying the ruck spot is there for Darcy. I wonder how much additional ruck space will be there for Havana with the potential to rotate Paige Price in, like if she's useful everywhere.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think that dampens anything that we've said up until now, but I just, I question.
It's one to watch. It's one to watch
how
for the preseason.
Yeah. The point scoring will come from rucks.
Yeah. Well, I want to move on to another key discussion topic that we got from Lil Myth, and that is, again, the volume of rookies, the massive player turnover. I've shoehorned in two rookies here, and it's Ava Usher and Sonny Lappin. So pick 4 for Sonny Lappin, pick 7 for Ava Usher, both midfielders who I expect will get games early. Sonny Lappin is the slightly higher averaging player. She averaged 107 at the under-18 champs, and I think it was a 90 or something from Ava Usher, but what I really did like to hear from Lil Myth is how many times when asked to talk about the midfield and the, you know, the structure with bigger bodies versus speed, the player that is mentioned for speed is Ava Usher, and then it's Neve McLaughlin when she goes in there. That tells me that, again, Lil Myth has seen something at training, and Lil Myth is a winger. She will be seeing things at the midfield training stoppages, and she would be the one best placed to kind of see who's having an impact. I think that's a great sign for early games. I think, again, there's going to be points up for grabs. There is so much youth in that team. There are going to be a lot of rookies picked. I think these two right now look like the most likely to play early and score well.
Absolutely.
Right, no debate on that one then.
Nope, fully agree.
3 and 4 are, again, worthwhile talking about together here. That's Neve McLaughlin and Daisy Darcy. Neve McLaughlin is very much dependent on whether or not she is a defender in the game. She played a majority of the season in defence. I had to burp.
Okay, good.
She averaged near on highest amongst defenders. I think she'll be the third or fourth most highest priced defender this year. But if you take out the ridiculous 24 that she had when she played the Brisbane Lions in the forward pocket, it's a game I would rather have forgotten. She really does shoot up to be the most expensive and the highest averaging defender last year that we'll get this year. The big question will be whether or not she's going to hold that role with the number four most relevant player, which is Daisy Darcy, because that's essentially what Neve McLaughlin did. Daisy Darcy out with an ACL injury, that halfback crossed with midfielder role, immediately Neve stepped in and took up that mantle, came in as captain as well, and really just changed things up in that midfield group. But it did the same type of thing that Daisy had done the season prior. The reason why Daisy Darcy is a question, she's obviously coming off an ACL injury. It's really good. She gets a 30% discount, so she'll be priced at 46. We know that she can go 65 plus. She did that two seasons ago, even with two injury-affected games. I think she got injured on 50 on 30-something-odd percent game time when she did go down with that ACL. She loves to tackle. She's a beautiful kick as well. I think that there's value there immediately. It's just going to be how those two mesh. We haven't actually seen a Gold Coast team with two good defenders. It's only ever been one. It's only ever been one good halfback distributor. So that's my big question, is how are those two going to mesh? Neve McLaughlin is not the highest marking player. Is it something where is she going to have that observable thirst for the cheap ball behind the play, or is it going to be Darcy who mops that up? I'm going to be fascinated to see how those two work in the preseason and early season, because I think it will really set who is the more important player to have in your side to start the year.
Yeah, I had both of them next to each other as like question mark on either. And Neve McLaughlin did increase her price 300K last year, and therefore her average massively. Like, she has really shown so much improvement that even though there is that room to lift because of a couple of low scores, it just makes me a little bit more hesitant, because with such a meteoric rise, there is the opportunity to plateau or decrease with a shift in other players around her, and then introduce Daisy Darcy, which is exactly the threat that we would not want to see for Neve McLaughlin's scoring capability. I think I won't be, I'll be watching both of these for a little bit. And also, I love that it took you a whole 10 seconds at the start of this episode to mention Neve McLaughlin. I was thinking it might be at least 20, but your favouritism has shone through.
My favouritism... She was named All-Australian halfback in her first time that she'd stayed back in Australia to have a full preseason and not play Gaelic. She was the only good thing outside of like maybe some rookie moments for any Suns player across the entirety of their program last year. Of course I was going to mention it early.
Of course, and I had no doubt.
Nice to know that I'm predictable. Let's talk about Anne Hatchard, because she's my number 5.
Yes.
This is a tough one, right? Coming, we always love the players that change teams. You know, it usually signals some desire to get them playing a certain way. We've seen that there's a big drop in midfield time opened up by Claudia Whitford going out. I do think that Maddie Brancatisano is a replaceable option in that midfield group as well. So price at 81, possibly as a forward as well. She did not play nearly as much midfield time at Adelaide last year. We know that this is a midfielder who has had seasons averaging above 100, has had multiple seasons in the last 3 years over 95. Last year was a down year. It was bad, and it was bad for a lot of Crows last year as well, as they kind of struggled with the new game plan. But with the way it was described by Lil Mithen, does sound like she's a midfielder so far, and a midfielder Aaron Hatchard is above a 90. I suspect she will be a very popular option, but how she works in a very new midfield as well, because she now goes and stands next to someone of a very similar stature in Charlie Rowbottom. I'm curious to see how those two work together. And I don't know. I don't know how it's going to work. I don't know who's going to take more points. It might be that it's none of them. It might be that they're too contested, particularly if it's Hatchard, Rowbottom, and Single. That's three big tacklers.
Yeah.
Not always the cleanest clearance players, but they will not lose clearances easily.
Yeah, it's a bit of too much of a good thing going on here at Gold Coast this year, because I think coming in as the most expensive forward on a fantasy perspective is pretty exciting for Anne Hatchard. And even if she stays forward with the stop breathing into the microphone. It's all I can hear. I'm sorry. That was deafening. Listed as a forward gives her so much opportunity, priced at 81, like coming as the highest averaging forward into the game is already such a good start. Then when you add on the opportunity for a little bit more midfield time and an opportunity to fill that gap, I feel like even if she is point sharing with Charlie Rowbottom, there's at least 20 points of upside here just to get her up to what she has been averaging in the past, and we know that she can do just from her like involvement with the game. So I think that kind of like Gold Coast, the only way up from here, the only way from here is up.
The only up way, only up way here from is down.
Exactly. So I actually was thinking that I was a bit more bullish on Anne Hatchard than you potentially, but I also just do love Hatchie, so might be coming through there. But yeah, lots of really good opportunities at Gold Coast, and it means that I've got a few quality names to be picking from for the host special. I was going to throw in Paige Price as the ruck option, because I think that's a potentially fascinating one if she's coming in real cheap and takes some time away from Darcy Davis. But we've also got Katie Lynch, everyone's favourite defender. Is she reliable?
I would say that her main issue is that she's extremely unreliable.
She's reliable in the fantasy, in my fantasy team, is where I was going with that sentence.
I would say that she is reliable. Yes, reliably in your fantasy team. I would say of all things,
scoring not so much.
Scoring, availability, match impact, anything you would like. I'd say Katie Lynch is inconsistent.
Injury, whether she's actually going to be playing. So I think that she could be an interesting one. I would be interested to see, though, what the absence of Georgia Clayton, who's inactive for pregnancy, does to Katie Lynch. I'm not necessarily sure if this is going to be a good or a bad thing. But I think that she's always an interesting one to pay attention to, because she has some nuggets of gold in her. But therefore, after those two not being my host special, I guess I've got to go with Charlie Rowbottom, who is crazy that she's not on this list. That really just shows how far Gold Coast has evolved, because a couple of seasons ago, she would have been number one multiple seasons in a row. Priced or averaged at 100, that's a pretty good spot for Charlie. I reckon she can go a little bit higher, because we have seen her average decline over the last few years, which is not really the direction that we want it to be going for such a young midfielder. But the back half of last season was pretty solid. It was 12 points higher than the first half. So I think that she was just started off a bit slow and has been ramping up. She's still young. She's still a superstar. And with such a large share of her points from tackling, I think there's a real good opportunity for her to keep that going and like continue to build the momentum with it. Yeah, so I think Charlie is not necessarily a start for me, but if she fits in with your side, I think that there's still headroom for her to go.
Yeah, it's just such an awkward one because of the additions, the players that they've brought in. And I would say that part of her decline also comes from a bad game plan shift league-wide. She was so contested.
Yeah. I think overall for Gold Coast, the one absolute, they've got to kind of tailor two stories, tailor two halves, tailor two opportunities. Halves.
Oh, my goodness.
You've got the absolute number one lock in Havana Harris. And then you've got a lot of really good players with a question mark on them. And that's it.
Just about, yeah. That's not a bad summary.
Thank you. It was so well articulated as well.
Yep, it was a tale of two stories.
And with that, that's the wrap on what we've got for the Gold Coast Suns episode today. If you want to read more about the Suns, how they went last season and what we can expect from them in the season to come, head over to our Substack because we've got an article up there. Otherwise, we'll catch you for our next episode. GWS Giants coming soon. Chat to you later.
See ya.